Here is former NHLer, ESPN NHL analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Ryan Callahan. How you doing, Ryan?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
We're doing well. We're just talking about the goaltending up here in Toronto, and you know, I'm curious what it's like as a player, you know, when you're uncertain about the health of a goalie, when you're uncertain of whether or not he's going to be available for you. Like, does that affect the guys at all? You know, forwards, defensemen, the game plan. What's that situation like for a player?
Hey, I'm surprised you guys are talking about the goaltending in Toronto.
That seems like it happens.
Another year, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it definitely affects the room. I think when you don't know exactly who your number one is, or you know, the health of a guy. Obviously, speaking of Matt Murray, you know, I will say they probably know in the room a lot more than what we know outside of it right now. Mm-hmm. You know, time-wise, what's exactly is going on, when it'll be back, if it'll be back. So, you know, I definitely think in the room they know more, but it's a little unsettling just, you know, when you bring a guy in like him and you think he's going to be, you know, play a lot of games for you guys. Samsonov's been unbelievable. So, I mean, you got that to, you know, to rest your loyals on, and you know that. I guess moving forward, he's your number one guy, right? If you're in that room, you know, the way he's played this year, how he stepped up, he's your number one guy. And I think in the back of your mind, you're hoping that Murray can get healthy in case Samsonov goes down or something happens to him. But, you know, at least they got a guy right now that's kicking and playing well and winning games. So I think that's the biggest thing they look at is we got a number one. He's playing well for us. And like I said, I think they probably know more than we do, obviously, of exactly what's going on. So I'm guessing there's not too much questioning or guessing of when Murray will be back or if he'll be back. They probably know.
Callie, what's your take on what a team needs to win in the playoffs? There's some different philosophies with talent, like when people are viewing talented teams, it's like, oh, we just need a guy. Maybe what Colorado had last year in Kemper. It's like he wasn't a dominant goaltender, mm-hmm. but he just did the job. There is Shesterkin in the East. There is Vasilevsky. What's your take if you don't have one of those guys? What your goaltending should be going into the playoffs?
Well, I think the biggest thing is your goaltending has to be, you know, suitable for your style of play. You know, what kind of team are you? You know, I think if you look at Colorado, you knew they can score. They didn't give up a ton either. I mean, they took their chances. Kemper had to be, you know, good at times, but he didn't have to be the guy, right? You know, and then I guess if you look at, you know, in Tampa when I was there, you know, we went Stanley Cup Finals, two conference finals, and, you know, Bishop at the time and then Vasilevsky, they had to pretty much stand on their head for us to get where we wanted to go just because we gave up so many opportunities and so many chances. You know, it's kind of a running gun style. And I think once Tampa realized that, you know, if we paid a little bit more attention to the defensive side of the puck and limited our turnovers, come playoff time, we were better off. And, obviously Vasilevsky, you know, being the goalie he is and then limiting the chances you get against them, your odds of winning are pretty high, but there's not too many teams that have that luxury of the Shesterkins and the Vasilevskys and, you know, so I think when you get a guy like Kemper, or I guess in the Leafs case, Samsonov, you know, once playoffs start, and I think for the Leafs especially, even no matter who's in that, you know, they got to worry about their own end of the ice first, and, you know, and game management. Once playoff comes, game management is so huge, and, you know, when to try that pass through the neutral zone, or when to try to beat a guy one-on-one. You know, time of the game, time of a series, who's on the ice, who you're against. So I think goaltending aside, I think once the Leafs learned that better, and I thought they did a better job of that, you know, last playoffs against Tampa, obviously they don't come on the right side of that series, but I definitely thought they did a better job of that, and they're going to have to if they're going to want to win the playoffs.
With Ryan Callahan, John Tavares played his 1,000th game last night. What has impressed you most about his career?
Yeah, I think, you know, just his longevity. I remember obviously playing against him when I was with the Rangers and he's with the Islanders a ton. You know, and what impressed me the most about him when I used to play against him was how good he was down low with his stick defensively. It seemed like he was always in the right spot. He battled down low. You know, and a guy that could put up points offensively when he was in the island there. You know, one of their go-to guys, obviously, offensively. But I just remember him being so good defensively in the defensive zone. you know, they could rely on him in all situations, you know. So I think that's the biggest thing I take away from playing against him was just, you know, his talent in the defensive zone and how strong he was on his stick, reading plays, always in the right position. And obviously this year in Toronto, he's having an unbelievable year and, you know, the captain of that team. So it's quite an honor to be able to, I think, play in 1,000 games. And he's been the consummate pro and seems like he comes to work every day and he's prepared and ready to go.
Ryan, we were talking about, and we've talked about at length, as far as what it takes to win in the playoffs. And you just talked about game management. Also talk about the toughness. And it's not about fighting, dropping the gloves, but maybe loose puck battles and guys maybe stepping out of their comfort zone to get a to make a play or make a big play that can be a difference maker in either a game or a series.
Yeah, I think it's definitely not about dropping the gloves. I mean, you rarely see, you know, fights in playoffs, you know, to begin with. I think team toughness is, you know, it could go from, you know, even taking a hit, you know, and not retaliating, you know, taking a punch in the face to, you know, standing in there in those little scrums and making sure that all five guys are in there and, you know, in there together as a team and, you know, finishing all your checks, blocking shots. There's a lot of things that can kind of go in that team toughness, you know, bucket. And I think, you know, when you're playing a team too, and you see teams doing that and you see some of their star players blocking shots or, you know, taking hits and just getting up and keep going, you know, you're not moaning or crying about it and, you know, finishing their checks. You know, when you're playing a team that's doing that in the playoffs, it starts to wear on you a little bit too. You know, you're like, holy cow, every single one of these guys, whether it's the top guy or the fourth line guy, is kind of playing the same way. They're grinding. There's those 50-50 puck battles, like you mentioned, you know, constantly in front of the net, you know, willing to basically do whatever it takes to try to win. And that's how it is. I mean, that's playoff hockey. I mean, you guys know, you've played it, you've seen it. You know, it's a grind, it's a battle, but, you know, it's usually those teams that are a team unit and show up every night, whether it's game one through game seven, and just continue to bring it. It's a 7-game series for a reason. I mean, your hits you start giving in game one, you know, start paying off in game six and seven. So it's a grind and it's a battle, and it's usually the teams that stick to that game plan that come out in the end.
Callie, how bullish are you on the Boston Bruins? Up to 2 weeks ago, people were like, why is anyone else making the playoffs? Because they're winning the Stanley Cup, and it's no contest. So a little bit of adversity for them. I believe they got a clean sweep, losses in Tampa, Florida, and Carolina. Mm-hmm. Does that take away from them not winning the Stanley? Everyone else is able to participate now?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you knew they were going to hit a bump in the road. And I guess going back to the start of the year, and I'd be the first to admit, I thought they were going to be in trouble to make the playoffs with, you know, with the guys they had out of their lineup to start and, you know, Marchand, McAvoy, you know, who knows what Krejci was going to be like coming back, you know, this year after missing basically 2 years playing over in Europe. So, you know, at the start of the year, I'm like, I think they're going to be in tough to make the playoffs. And boy, was I wrong, obviously. But I mean, I think they're clear cut favorites still. Obviously they've lost three in a row here, which I think a little adversity is good. I think it's good for them to go through that a little bit and, you know, have to rebound or, you know, change the way they're playing a little bit. You know, obviously, you guys have been through it before. You start making mistakes, but you're still winning games. You know, sometimes it's good to lose a couple in order to realize that, you know, we got to clean up our game and get back to the way we were playing before when you're having success. And you just look at their lineup and the way Allmark's playing in net, too. I mean, there's not many holes, right? You know, you bring Krejci back and kind of slot everybody where they should be. I think, you know, you drop Coyle down to that third line center spot, where I think he's great. You know, and then obviously got Krejci playing with Pasta, and you know the chemistry they have together, and Marchand Bergeron, the chemistry they have together. So it's just you know, I look at that team, and we were talking about it on ESPN the other day, you know, like, what do you do for a trade deadline? And I don't know what they need. I look at that lineup and I'm like, obviously you could use like a depth forward or a depth D, but there's just not too many holes there, and it's a team that has been there before. They've won together before, that core. So, you know, they have the experience. So that, you know, that's another thing in their back pocket. So it's going to be, they're going to be a tough out 7 games. I mean, you know, you look at that division, them, Toronto and Tampa, you know, you start thinking to yourself, you know, I kind of wish we went back to that 1-8 playoff standings.
Oh yeah.
But that's a whole other conversation to have, I guess. But yeah, I they're going to be a tough out. If I had to pick a favorite right now, the way they played early on this year, I mean, it's tough not to pick them.
With Ryan Callahan, so the Chicago Blackhawks have had a tough year to begin with,
Now
they're on the wrong side of an emergency backup goalie getting sent out there, basically as a ceremony, like you're a local guy.
Yeah. Dude, there would have been a price to pay 25 years ago, the next meeting, if it was like, you want to put in the high school guy? We're going to beat the hell out of somebody.
That's what I haven't heard that brought up. Like, as an outsider, I'm like, that's cool, he's a local guy, that's awesome. Edmonton coming out and saying, we meant no disrespect.
Well, don't you think McDavid and Jay Woodcroft started their media saying, wasn't about
just
that.
It was
about putting the kid in.
But Callie, do you think players these days, because it seems like they just keep trucking and not much bothers them, or they're not offended, do they even think anything of that, Chicago? Or are they like, we're going to get you back when you come to Chicago? What do you think the players think of it?
You know, I mean, I think like you said, I'm shocked by it, kind of, to be honest with you. And maybe I'm old school, right? Maybe I got a different train of thought, and everything's different now, I guess, these days. The whole world is changing a little bit, and I know when I used to play, I think that pissed me off. I mean, you're just, you may
be embarrassing
putting it in our face. Yeah, it's completely embarrassing, right? Like you said, to start a press conference and have to apologize, or not apologize, but explain yourself as soon as the press conference started. So it's already in the back of their head, knowing that, you know what, maybe we did show them up a little bit by putting this, e-bug in the net. Sure, is it a great story? Yeah, absolutely. Is it great for that guy to come in and get a shot and play some NHL minutes? Sure, it's great for him. But, I mean, this is the NHL, right? Like, you take a lot of pride in what you do. You work hard, obviously, and then to go out there, and Chicago's not having the greatest year, so things can't be great in that room, can't be great in the organization, and now you got an e-bug coming out basically as a little ceremony thing against you guys. It's, I would take that as a little bit of a slap in the face. I mean,
yeah,
but,
tough.
Will there be retaliation or anything like that? I'm going to say no, because you don't see too much of it anymore, right? If I had to guess or bet on it, I'd say no, there's not going to be any, but I'll tell you, just myself, I'd be pissed,
Oh, yeah.
If nothing else, you, at that point, you go back to the room, and you look in the room, and you look at each other, and you say, guys, like, is this not embarrassing at this point? If nothing else, a little rallying call, right? If I'm in that room, I'm saying, we better pick our game up. We got e-bugs going in against us right now. For fun.
When you put it that way, we've got e-bugs going in against us.
For a TikTok. At our expense.
I'm with you, O-Dog. I think we got a little bit of a different, old school mindset on that one. But yeah, it surprised me.
Before we get you out of here, and I apologize, I thought your jersey retirement was on Sunday, but it was on a Saturday. How was that experience?
Okay.
And welcome to the club, by the way. No. I was going to be there, and I got I emailed and said, what time is the game on Sunday? And they said, it's actually on Saturday. And I was with my daughter, so I couldn't go. Just how was the experience getting the jersey up to the rafters amongst some of the greats? That's a legit saying.
Legit. It's Guelph greats, but it's still greats.
How was it, buddy?
Easy. I like that, O-Dog. Yeah, greats. The greats.
There you go.
It was awesome. I mean, what an unbelievable experience. I think the biggest thing I took away from it is I got, having three kids now, having them be able to come on the ice with me and experience a little bit. I was never lucky enough to obviously have my jersey retired at the NHL level or a ton of, accolades or anything like that. So, Guelph as a city and organization meant so much to me in my growth and my development, who I am now as a person. So to just kind of put a bow on it, go back and have a good night. And like I said, have my family there. A bunch of friends came up as well. Old teammates were there. It was a really special night. I took a lot from it. So it's good to be next. Yeah, you and Bert, all good.
Congrats, buddy. Thanks for doing this. And I apologize again, but congrats. That's a great accomplishment.
That's awesome.
Thanks for doing this.
Congrats. Thanks, Ryan.
There it is. Thanks so much.
You
talk
got
to you guys
it.
Soon.
Yep, Ryan Callahan. Guelph Storm legend.
Some hockey greats in the rafters.
Yeah. So
amongst the greats.
Amongst the greats. So you're up there. Bertuzzi's up there. He's up there. Is Doughty going to go up there someday?
What do you think?
The lock.
Dustin Brown? Is Dustin Brown going up?
Who else is
lock?
Does it go back that far? Like, who's the oldest guy?
Those are the big ones
there?
That I... Like, Brown was playing when I was
playing. Well, I don't know, because there was the Guelph Platers before, right. And then they moved, and then they came back and became the Storm. So, I don't know what the pecking order is.
Yeah, the e-bug stuff was... Man, that was a wild scene.
Go on in and get a TikTok, and then we'll wrap it up for tonight. That's
why did he have a GoPro on or something? I didn't think so.
No, but I'm just saying it was like somebody probably took a TikTok, and I don't know. It's like it's embarrassing.
I was watching the game. I actually was watching, but then I kind of thought it was I knew what they were coming from, but I understand the respect factor, because you could take it as a slight if you're Chicago. The game's 7-3. You know, it's a runaway game. They know they're winning. The way it was explained after, they started planning it with like 7 minutes left in the game.
Right. They're not even worried.
They're not even worried that the game's going to come back.
Like Chicago had no chance.
And like, imagine being in an NHL contest and the only thing you're thinking about with 7 minutes left is, can we get the e-bug
in? Can we get the e-bug in the game?
I kind of thought it was cool, but I understand both sides of it.
Imagine my fourth line in Hartford with Kelly Chase.
Oh, yeah. Chase would run the guy over.
And Mark J. Like, they would have climbed in the opposition's bench.
Yeah.
Max Domi, when they play each other next, I guarantee you he grabs somebody and dummies them. I don't think they even think twice about it.
Yeah, I think Chicago, but I do think the fact that Chicago is so bad, it says something about where they've fallen to. They want to, but yes, it's 7-3. That could have been 7-3 against Calgary. There's no way Edmonton would have done that. I just don't believe they would have done it against Calgary. Yeah. They'd be like, it's not, we don't want to do that against them. Let's just leave that.
Yeah, that's
it's
a
like
good
Chicago's
point.
Brutal. Forget them. Who
it's
cares?
It's a good point. Would you do that against somebody that.
I don't think you're doing it against Vegas. You know, like, I don't think you're doing it against teams like LA you're competing with. You're like, so the whole idea that, yeah, it's 7-3, it was 7-3 plus Chicago.
Yeah, that's right. It's
like that's
it's
how I kind of saw it.
Perspective like, that because I kind of thought it was just a nice story.
It was cool. The kid gets out there. It's
just and the fact that like Woodcroft was like was McDavid's idea to put the kid in there.
Yeah,
and
who's as old as McDavid? 20,
yeah,
I think.
He's 25. He's actually U of A Golden Bears. I actually have the general manager of the U of A Golden Bears. I played with and is actually a personal friend of mine, Stan Marple. So I messaged him yesterday. He's like, the kid's a good kid.
He is. It's
like,
not
I just kind of gave him. And I'm not sure if Leafs Lunch reached out and tried to have him on.
Yeah, they did. I believe they had him on.
Yeah. So, yeah. But, I mean, it's a good story, but I understand how it could go. I mean, it's a little different than the David Ayer situation.
That was necessary.
There's two sides of it. It's like, it's great for the kid that he got in a game, NHL, he played.
Right.
And there's the other side, which Cali and we just discussed, where it's like, I can't believe they actually did that.
Well, right. Because they decided to, right? Like, if you go in on an emergency basis, everyone understands you have to go.
Right.
This was I've never seen a scenario where they're like, let's get him out there as a ceremonial.
Refresh my memory.
Well, the Blackhawks themselves, yes.
Was the original e-bug. He's the accountant that went in against Winnipeg and made like seven saves.
Yeah, but
I can't remember why he went in, though. Was that an injury or was that?
It must have been. I mean, I think I would have remembered a scenario where a team said, hey, just get out there. Let's go have fun.
Right.
Like, I
think the guy in Chicago, the lawyer or whatever.
No,
I
he's the accountant, Scott Foster.
Yeah,
right.
He had to go in.
He had to go in for some reason.
I don't know if that was an injury or if it was like, go in.
I was watching that game there. He was getting peppered a little bit.
I know. Winnipeg was throwing everything at the net. The guy was making save after save. We got to find out if that was an injury or if that was kind of like.
It was an injury. It was an injury.
Was it?
Yeah,
okay,
I guess Anton Forsberg got hurt and whoever the backup was that day got hurt.
Yeah, wasn't available or sick or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that happens. And
The error situation was a legitimate two-injury situation.
Two guys left.
Which was Mrazek.
Mrazek and Reimer, I think.
Yeah, Mrazek was still. Or was it Anderson and Mrazek?
No,
it was Mrazek.
It was Mrazek. I think Mrazek and Reimer. I believe it was Mrazek and Reimer, and they both left, and Ayers had to go in the second period.
Oh, Reimer was for the Carolina.
Yeah, for Carolina.
That's right. Like, that was necessary. That had to happen. Yeah. We've seen scenarios like that, Foster, where it's like, we don't have another choice. You have to go in a game.
Right.
This was...
I still come
absolutely
down to
unnecessary.
Okay, you know,
and they put him in.
It was like, hey, you want to go play in the NHL?
Yeah,
but you're right. We're talking about, we're giving it a lot of oxygen. This comes back to every team should be allowed to carry three goalies at the National Hockey League level, and
absolutely,
the third one should not count against the cap or be a set. That guy's making $300,000, and he can be here the whole
season.
They're
having the same chat in the NFL right now. Because
yeah,
look what happened to the Niners.
Exactly.
Right? Like, the second Purdy went down, that game was effectively over, but then Johnson gets pulled for concussion protocol, which he had to.
Yeah,
they didn't have a court. They had to put a guy back in. It's coming out here, Schefter reporting, that Purdy tore his UCL.
Six months.
Like, he blew his arm out, and he had to go back in the game.
He was handing off. That's
just
basically
handing
what
the ball off.
Duthie yesterday was, out of the corner of his eye, was watching that. And this is how talented Duthie is. We're doing the panel, and out of the corner of his eye, he's seeing McCaffrey at quarterback. And Cheryl starts talking, and there's just one camera on Cheryl, and he's looking at me, and he's trying to mouth the words, McCaffrey's in at quarterback. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Yeah. I thought I had to, like, chime or something. And then he did this, like, football motion of a quarterback. And he tells me again. And then we go to commercial. I'm like, what the hell were you trying to tell me? He's like, we're done. McCaffrey's playing quarterback. He was so pissed.
Yeah, they were done. If you're a Niner fan, but, like, what else are you going to do but throw your hands up and say,
I know what you're going to do. You're not going to Trey Lance. You're going to sniff around on Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, because you have the team. Who knows how long the window is, and all you need is the quarterback.
Yeah. Rodgers ain't happening. They're not trading him to the Niners. There's no way the Packers would trade him to San Fran. Brady's going to be free.
That doesn't apply in modern-day sports anymore.
I think it does with that team.
Rivals trade with each other nowadays.
Not superstar quarterbacks who have been with you for 20 years.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if they even entertain that idea. And I don't think the Niners are in a position to trade assets. They just did that for Trey Lance.
It's TB12.
Brady can show up on the cheap and just walk right in. That is possible. Brady is possible.
Wow.
But I feel for Purdy, because honestly, that might be the end of the road for him. Like, if you're... This is the reality of sports that no one would ever acknowledge publicly.
Right.
Shanahan looks at him differently today. Like, when he walked over and said,
like, you just couldn't,
like, you just couldn't get through it.
I know, you couldn't do it, huh,
You
pal?
Just couldn't do it. And now it's a legitimate injury, no question.
Dude, he might have had five fingers broken, but he would just look at him and say,
yeah,
you just couldn't pull through
just
for me,
couldn't.
Could you?
Like, it's true. It's savage. It is savage.
That is.
But in football, it's like, well, Brett Favre played 300 games in a row.
Yeah.
All right. You know, Peyton played every game. Eli played every game. Tom's always out there.
And Hayes, that's why we go back to the optics of Matt Murray and the timing and how it's happening, where some of his teammates and other people would be like, are you kidding me, man?
Well, they were building him up all day. He's jacked. He's ready. He's prepared. He's a pro. He can't wait to get out there. And then he's out.
Right.
And
the optics of it are weird.
Yes, absolutely.
I hope he gets healthy. I hope he can get back on track. But the optics of that and other situations. I watched an Ottawa game a couple of years ago. Middle of warm-up, he just skated up to the other guy, and he said, you're playing tonight. And I'm like, that's weird stuff, man.
And even the explanation, there's some stuff there that's got a Freddie Anderson vibe. Like, we don't know. And he's out through the bye week now. He's not going to play for a month. Like, the last time he played was January 17th.
Yeah,
he's not playing when they first come back. Like, they got a back-to-back when they come back. He may have to play.
Yeah.
But if he's not prepared to play, and we'll know, if he's not prepared to play against Columbus on the 11th of February, we're going to know a lot more about what's going on, what's lingering.
Yeah.
Again, they may not be completely transparent with that information, but if he can't play in that back-to-back, something's up.
Agreed.
So, and then you start wondering, what do they do?
Yeah.
Because then you got less than a month before the deadline. Max Homa will join us in an hour. He was victorious again at Torrey Pines. That course always shows up, man. Always shows up, Torrey.
Can't believe that's not elevated.
I know. I'm sure it will be in the future. It has to be. Look at Pebble. No one's going.
That's sad.
That is. That's Pebble Beach, the AT&T. It's a big tournament, a historic course.
Right.
Sungjae Im pulled the shoe. When Sungjae doesn't play,
that's something. You
know, that's saying something.
Yeah, you know.
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.